Hello, and welcome to episode 534 of the League Rundown. We're in World's Preview stage with our Swiss review and quarterfinals preview. This episode is lovingly entitled, Luck of the Draw. I'm your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by three esteemed co-hosts. Up first, we got Bickle.
I swear I've seen this script for Worlds before, but call me crazy.
No, we didn't beat G2 on the way in this time around.
Fair.
But still did get quite lucky in how things shook out in Swiss stage. Also joining us to boast about how well his region did with all teams making it out, Mr. Mazelpiel.
Hello, I'm not gloating. No, I'm just here. I'm just here. I'm excited to talk about some of the world stuff. It's gonna be good.
Absolutely, and also to maybe mauled a little bit over how much harder the draws were for the LPL teams, but they still all made it out. And also joining us, rounding out the cast today, a special guest host, aka returning longtime host, but we had to put him at the end because it's been a while. We got Badger.
They called me and said that they need someone to do the eulogy at Dom Juan's funeral, and unfortunately, yep, I was available to do so. So here lies the 2024-2025 Dom Juan D plus Kia Fortes Deluxe. I was so sad watching that happen in real time, but surely, yep, surely next year I can believe in Showmaker and Dom Juan will win Worlds, right?
Well, okay, let's ask a question then. Why do you have to do the eulogy? Can you specify for the listeners that might not be aware?
So, you know, there's this lovely thing that Riot does called the Crystal Ball, and this is now the third year in a row that I've put Dom Juan winning Worlds surely... We're in a Worlds meta where mid lane jungle matters to the point, and Dom Juan always has great mid jungles, and then I remembered that Moham is their support, and then I got really sad. So, anyways.
Well, at least you did your pick-ems. That's more than some of us in the broadcast can say. Cough, cough, me.
Technically, because I didn't do play-ins, but that's fine.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, it's time to get into global news before we cover what happened last week and preview what's happening next week at the Worlds stage. Up first in global news, reminder that Knockout Stage will continue this coming week at 8 a.m. EST, 5 a.m. PST, and I believe it's October, is it 18th? I don't have it here. Wait, no, I do have it. It's 17th. There we go. October 17th is when Worlds will begin again. So mark your calendars right there, as I should have. That should be Thursday morning. Hopefully this podcast is out before then. But we also have a couple roster news. Now, we don't know. There might be things that we've missed because there's been a lot of stuff going on in the offseason already, but we're just going to go through what's at least in front of us right now. JoJo officially parting ways with C9 as he is out of the contract database. This was heavily rumored. It was basically confirmed and guaranteed, but now when you're out of the contract database, that is the final confirmation. Badger, we haven't gotten your thoughts on this. Have you heard about the JoJo to EU rumor going around?
I didn't realize it was EU. I had loosely heard some stuff about potential like landing locations for him, but I didn't know to EU was an option. That's yep. That he might get eaten up and chewed up and spit out, as one may say, if he goes over. Ooh. There. If he can't survive in a team like C9, then he's not gonna survive anywhere. At least in a respectable team.
Yeah, that's still my concern, is if he does leave NA and goes to EU, I really hope that he's got the right mentality to handle the competitive nature over there. So, we'll keep our eyes on that. Fingers to the pulse, but at least he's out of the contract database for C9 for right now. Also, a lot of news going on in EU. It seems like LEC's just got all the roster news happening right now. I think part of it just being that we don't even know the teams that are in NA next year, technically. But let's get through them. Bickle, we got Fnatic extending an offer to Oscar Rinnan. Is this rumored or confirmed? Do we know?
This is the two of these three are rumors. The middle one We have a general confirmation as the player posted they were granted the opportunity to explore new options. So Fnatic extending Ostgrinnan is still a rumor, but mm-hmm. has been largely rumored. MDK parting ways with Friskawi right after Worlds. Friskawi posted he is now looking around, exploring his options. So that is basically confirmed. This last one just came out as soon as Swiss ended.
Yeah.
And kind of hammers open saying, yeah, anything you thought had been official is now underway as G2 is blowing things up already, allegedly parting ways with Yike and Mickey.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the wrong move to make.
I think based on World's performance and even based on summer performance, it's not too surprising. We already heard rumors about a potential jungler coming up that they could be looking at, right?
There are heavy rumors that the replacements are going to be Skewmond from BDS Academy, who has been compared to Yike as almost a higher potential Yike that originally came out of LDLC. And Mickey's rumored to be being replaced by, oh my god, why am I forgetting his name? Labrov from BDS. Those are the two names rumored to be coming on, Newman and Labrov.
That's interesting. Labrov would be pretty exciting. Labrov, Hansama, whew. Well, either way, that's fast. Because, spoilers, in case you missed any of Worlds, you're probably living under a rock if that's the case. G2 did not make it out, and that means that, yes, that's very quick roster rumors and news coming immediately after the Worlds performance, which I'm not even going to say. I know some people have said, like, oh, disappointing Worlds result, I guess, more so than performance, but God, did they get quite unlucky with their Swiss stage draws. They had to play some real tough opponents, and they still looked pretty damn good doing it. We'll talk more about that later, but that's the global news for right now. If we miss any roster news, let us know in the community Discord. Speaking of, you can find a link to that in the description wherever you are listening to the podcast, because there's a lot of stuff going on globally right now, but most of our focus right now is still on the world stage, so we might have missed some things. But also just let us know your thoughts on how the episodes are going, your thoughts on who's going to win Worlds, anything you want to join in the conversation, especially as off-season is approaching and there's wild speculation every year. Also, shout out to the patrons who support the podcast and anybody who has supported us on the new website. Badger, were you aware that we have a merch store now?
No, Kangas. Can you tell me about the merch store that we have now for the League Rundown podcast?
Well, absolutely. We have league-rundown-shop.forthwall.com where you can purchase things like mugs, which I'm now showing off to my camera so that everybody in the call can see and everyone at home will have to listen and imagine how cool that looks, alongside t-shirts, hats, mouse pads, and soon to be a Badger-specific trophy that you can order, which we will explain only if you listen to the Bullshittery episode.
I don't think anybody else wants that trophy. I feel like that one's one that would not be a hot commodity in the community, one may say.
As our non-existent legal department, I'm not sure we can sell those.
please do not attach my name to the
Well, either way, anybody who helps support the podcast, you all rock. Thank you so much for everything that you do. But that's time now to get into the world's news proper, because we've wrapped up Swiss stage, and oh boy, what a wild ride non-seeded Swiss continues to be. We talked about it last week of how the draws had gone, and this week it is even crazier what happened, because some teams had you know, arguably easier paths into the quarterfinals than some other teams ended up having. The way we're going to do this, though, is we're going to talk mostly about the teams that were not able to make it out of the Swiss stage, so we can focus on them in the first half of the episode, and then we'll talk about the quarterfinals preview, where we'll highlight more about the teams that made it out. First off, we had a couple of 1-2 matches that happened with BLG versus PSG, Fnatic versus Weibo, and then Team Liquid versus GAM. BLG advanced, Weibo advanced, Team Liquid advanced, which meant that Fnatic, PSG, and GAM all bid adieu. Rough draw for Fnatic getting Weibo. I think Europe in general got fairly unlucky with the draws, although Fnatic also weren't looking that good going into this one to begin with, Bickle, because we didn't really expect them to do even as much damage as they did to their opponent.
In my honest opinion, Fnatic could have drawn any team in that 1-2 group and still would have lost. They looked that bad.
They could have beaten GAM, right?
They already did beat GAM was the problem.
They couldn't play GAM again.
True, I guess they couldn't pull them then.
So that means their options are BLG, Hell No, Team Liquid. We've already seen how that match has occurred over this entire year. Weibo, true. We saw what happened in that matchup. And PSG, who I think had just been looking better than Fnatic.
Yeah, it was going to be tough for Fnatic no matter what. But again, they were able to pick up a game. So I guess that's something to celebrate.
They picked up a game because Weibo decided, what if we just pretended this was back at MSI and drafted it like it was that comp again? With Renekton, Nidalee. No, not Renekton, Nidalee. It was, I can't remember the top laner, but it was Nidalee, Lucian, jungle mid.
I thought it was Renekton, I'm pulling it up right now.
Was it Renekton, Nidalee?
I'm pretty sure. I thought it was.
Yeah, let me take a look here because I'm about to have it up in front of me. Fnatic versus Weibo and Weibo on their loss. Yeah, it was Renekton, Nidalee, yeah. Lucian mid with Misfortune and Leona.
The hell is that? Like, and the thing is, they had a lead early. They just then threw it all away because Crisp did his favorite thing, which is getting randomly caught out. But then the next two games happened, and it was not pretty for Fnatic. Honestly, I hate to talk negatively about a player. This, I think, is Humanoid's worst international performance ever. I don't think he had a single good game.
Which is so rough considering kind of the reputation. I know it was memed on by the community and even like his teammates of like, oh, the super carry Humanoid. But he had a somewhat clutch factor where like when it mattered, he could step up and be that carry that they needed. But we just didn't see that version of Humanoid at this world stage, unfortunately. So do we know when Humanoid's contract is up? I actually don't know what the Fnatic contracts look like. I know Oscar Rinnan would have been up because they're rumored to be extending that one. But I don't know offhand if Humanoid's is. If it is up, though, do we think that we keep Humanoid at this point? I don't know, like other mid laners in EU that are better. Yeah, exactly. JoJo, so, wait.
Fnatic JoJo. We solved it.
Humanoid, Noah, and June are all up in 2025. Razork in 2026. Oscar is the only one coming up. But expect them to make roster changes. I do want to give props to Noah. He looked rough coming into the tournament after season finals, after summer finals. But I think he stepped it up at the international event. Had some good performances. It just wasn't. Yeah, he had his moments.
I'm not going to say if there were good moments or bad moments, but he had his moments. So
he had some positive moments. He had some moments where he was trying to make a play when the game was already lost.
Yeah. I think that, again, this was the expected result. Mazel, while we're talking at least about Weibo, we'll talk more about them later, but what was your thought on their running back, kind of like the Renekton Nidalee with Lucian mid? Was this them just like seeing if something old would work, or do you think that they're like disrespecting Fnatic?
I think if you listen to a lot of the interviews that LPL players are having, I think it's been the case at a lot of other worlds, is like our meta reads are really bad a lot of the time. And you hear from them that like they're just trying to pick comfort. Like the whole reason Jace got picked by Nyze, he will never pick it again. But they needed something, and they knew he was good at that, right? And I think that a lot of the time, that's what LPL teams will default to, and see if it works, right? Like they want to see if they can outhand you. But it's also comfort knowing that they don't really have clarity in the meta right now. So yeah. I think it's really interesting.
All right. Well, that is the fairly unceremonious farewell that we bid to Fnatic at this stage, as they did not advance with the 1 and 2s.
They at least gave us a game of Swain.
It's true. It's that game 3.
It's literally going to be the start of the exodus from NA to EU now. This is the beginning of that era. We had the exodus of EU to NA.
Oh, yeah. Now we're
I mean, 2 years in a row, NA makes quarters, EU doesn't.
Oh, completely validly as well, as we will cover later. Also, we saw that PSG and GAM bid farewell at this stage as well. The only wins that they were able to pick up in Swiss stage were just beating up MDK as they took turns doing that, but weren't able to accomplish as much afterwards, although they still looked like decent teams, and I think that that's pretty exciting when you look at the merger that's going to be happening next year, as this was GAM's last hurrah as their own region. This was also Maple's last hurrah, as it was kind of the last dance, as he's been saying publicly. So I know that like we didn't expect them to make that much damage, but they didn't bomb out. Neither of these teams went 0-3. They were able to at least pick up wins, one series win even for the likes of GAM. So I think that they can at least leave with their heads held high. But in general, yeah, like I said, kind of where we expected them to be overall.
I will say in that 1-2 series, Game 1, GAM gave every North American fan a heart attack as they demolished Team Liquid.
Yeah.
Go for it, Badger.
I was impressed. I was like, whoa, is this how the LCS era as we know it just ends, is losing to GAM? Like getting eliminated by GAM at Worlds.
It was not close, and it was like the Orianna plus the Vi combo just freaking destroyed us over and over again. And I know Mazel, you had really strong opinions on this. The Maokai Tristana picked up by Team Liquid. Just
I cannot believe it, man. I can't believe we've drafted. Well, for I guess my biggest complaint is Tristana, because we still see LPL teams also drafting Tristana. It's like, I'm sorry, like this champion was relevant. It is semi-relevant, but not comparatively to like everything else we have. And then Maokai is just not the choice when you're going to play passively like that. It's just rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at least Team Liquid was able to bounce back in the next two with pretty convincing performances, very fast games. Like they just smashed after that game two, it was like a 24-minute game, something like that. Spawn, we got some cool like social media posts of the speeches he was giving to the team, and that was kind of fun to celebrate.
People were losing their minds for no reason over those. Him being like, we're not pressing buttons good. Yeah, you guys aren't pressing buttons good. Like, that's just all it is. Like,
I don't remember who said it. Actually, it might have been Mazel. Somebody in a call one time in my Discord when we were doing a watch party was mentioning that, like, a lot of coaches' job on game day, what coaches like in traditional sports have said is, like, you're not teaching at that point. You're just maintaining mental and like reminding the players of what they've already learned. Because you're not going to like learn new lessons or drill new things on game day at these tournaments. So at that point, Spawn's job is to just get his player's head back in the game, because it's not like you're going to actually go over moments in that game after game one and be like, okay, this is what like we can learn from this moment. It's like, no, the lessons have been learned at this point. It's execution. So, that's kind of, once I heard that, I was like, yeah, that actually makes a lot more sense of the style of coaching that we saw from that. Cause I definitely see Spawn as more of that kind of traditional sports kind of coach. But yeah, that was Team Liquid backs against the wall, at least advancing forward to the 2-2 stage. But there were also 2-1 matches going on around this time, as Top Esports took on DK, HLE took on FlyQuest, and G2 took on T1. Let's cover at least the LCS and LEC to start off here. G2 versus T1. The El Clasico at international events. It's usually pretty hype. T1 took it 2-0 this time around. Badger, I actually want to hear your thoughts on this one to start us off.
So coming into this, I was very low on G2. I didn't even think they were going to get to the 2-2 games. I thought they were going to get eliminated in the 1-2 games, just depending on how the draw went. Luckily they drew Pain as their first round, and then they had the win over Weibo, which when we get to Weibo and we talk about them, I have thoughts on that team. But I just think, like, if this, so the, a lot of the stuff going on and a lot of the narrative is this is the last, like, run for the Zeus owner Faker Guma Caria lineup, and I don't know. I just feel like that seems inevitable. Like, T1, when they get to Worlds, it's just, oh, okay, like, we make quarters. Like, it, mm-hmm. no matter what, Chovy, 6 years running, it feels like T1, any they haven't been eliminated in a group stage. Like, Faker is, like, got 40 game wins more than anybody else at Worlds at this point, it seems like, I think is what the stats
did say. Did he just get 100 wins at Worlds?
He's got 100 100th win.
Yeah,
that's insane.
He's won 100 league games at Worlds in his career.
That's what, like,
how and he's got like a 70-plus percent win rate, too. Like, that's the wild thing in all of it.
I mean, he's the goat. He is, that makes sense.
He's the goat. So, and goats just, and goats don't go out in Swiss stage. So,
no, isn't it like T1's never? Well, no, but I think that this would be the first time, right? Hasn't T1 never done worse than semis?
Correct. They have never done worse than semis.
Yeah, yeah, they've missed Worlds, but whenever they go to Worlds, they never miss semis. Sorry, what, Mizzou?
I said sorry about you, T1 fans.
I actually agree with Mizzou on that prediction as well.
I have thoughts on top as well once we get there. Actually, I have a thoughts on all of China. So Mizzou and I are going to get no
argument. I don't know if Badger's thoughts have much weight when you said DK was going to win.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Dom Juan literally ran into the Great Wall of China after going 2-0 to start the Swiss stage. So.
Dude, they were never gonna make it, man. I'm sorry.
No, I had all of the faith.
Dom Juan just did the anti T1 from last year.
Why can't they draw Team Liquid? Why can't they draw?
Yep.
Why can't they have the run of never facing an Eastern team?
You and every EU fan asking the same questions.
It's Dom 1 versus the LPL, and they hate those odds.
just get Showmaker into quarters, and that's when he levels up. Like, I don't know what it is.
Well, let's talk about the top esports side, though, because they went 2-0 against DK. This was their promotion match, though. We'll cover more about them in the quarterfinals preview. But what do you think, Mizzou? Were you proud of your boys? Because I know that they're the team that you're really backing at those Worlds.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've still not seen the entirety of what is possible with a team, but I think we've seen them handle some of the meta reads well, and I think their hands are what I'm most excited for going into quarters, because in a best of five, I like, just as a premise, I do not expect any of those best of fives to be clean, even all the way to finals. I expect all the LPL teams to be brought to 4 or 5 games, but that's where I think we've seen LPL teams are making the difference in those game threes. They are not messing up. They are not making mistakes, and they're actually capitalizing really well mechanically. And I think that's where I hold top esports above all the other teams. I think mechanically they are just really good. It's just about if they can actually read the meta and utilize it well. And I think we've seen some of it.
Okay. What I learned from top esports versus DK also was Jackie loves Ashe is filthy.
It's pretty good. Boy. Yeah, I think I was really low. So I was really low on top and Weibo coming in, just because I didn't think that, I don't know. It just seemed like the meshing of the players, like the way that they were playing, I wasn't too high on some of them coming in. Like, I thought TN was kind of, I wasn't as high on TN and 369 coming into it, and Jackie Love at Worlds.
Got MVP, bro.
I don't know. Hey man. Now I've pivoted, and I think that if Top Esports doesn't win Worlds, I will be disappointed. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. I think this team is good. I think this team's actually really good after watching them play.
Yeah, his development and improvement since MSI when we saw him at International has been nothing short of impressive.
Cream is.
And we're also going a little bit back into his meta, so I'm fucking excited. Yep. Dude, if he whips out his Akali, I'm going to fucking scream. I can't wait.
Are you going to cream?
Yep.
Oh, God. Okay,
part of the lactose. Oh, God. I love that Nymera has now just made the lactose tolerance club a thing. It's great.
I actually haven't heard that. But oh, really? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We'll cover more of the Lactose Tolerance Club as we cover the quarters previews. Kasabi Sports did make it out, but there's one other match that happened here that was HLE versus FlyQuest. This is an LCS matchup versus the number one seed from the LCK. And wouldn't you know, FlyQuest did not just give up and give an easy win to HLE. They actually made them work for it. They did lose game one, but they were able to bounce back in game two with just the wildest freaking, like, gameplay. Bwipo just down like 30 CS and a kill and like turret plates, and just doesn't matter because he's Olaf, and once they fight, he's just like, well, Zyra's not going to stop me. I'm just going to run at them.
Hey, Kangas, you're kind of missing the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Zyra jungle for a Hanul.
That's the only interesting thing. Was actually
the only interesting pick for jungle there. And, you know, FlyQuest totally didn't pull out the Nunu for Inspired.
Yeah, well, I don't think Doran realized they pulled out the Nunu either, because there were a couple players on HLE that didn't seem that they understood exactly what Nunu's kit did, because that pick, that champ is so low pick prio. Yeah. I did not expect it. I didn't even seem like Inspired was particularly good at it. He hit snowballs into walls so many times, but it didn't matter.
The reel that they made and posted was so good, because like half of it was just him failing.
Yeah. I was going to say, it wasn't an inspiring performance, one may say, but it was it was definitely something that caught them off guard. I for one, Zeka Yasuo, please. Please get rid of it.
Yeah.
Burn it. Burn it in the fires. I do not want to see that again.
So,
well, thankfully he didn't have to, because then he played Sylas later on, which 100% win rate. 100%
win rate, by the way.
Yeah, into quads, Cassiopeia. It's cool to see FlyQuest developing their own sort of style. I do like the Cassiopeia into the melee matchups, but it's just like, now we just need to get wins with it. Because I like it theoretically, but I don't know. It's just like, it feels like we're falling too far behind too fast with it.
So does anyone actually know the last time an NA team took a game off the Korean number one seed at Worlds?
Oh.
Oh,
I do not.
Gosh, single game.
Interesting question.
My PTSD flashbacks take me back to 2018.
You would be incorrect, as KT did not drop a game.
But the Afrika was the big loss.
In that. They were not the number one seed. Last time it happened would be 2016.
Was it CLG and Rocks Tigers?
It was CLG and Rocks Tigers.
Dude, that's crazy. That's the other one that I was thinking of. I just didn't know if it was it was between 18 and 16.
Yep.
That's wild. Well, we got a game. We didn't get the series, and that would have been our first series win against an LCK team since 2018, when C9 was able to do it against the Freak of Freaks. But that's all hypotheticals, as unfortunately, Bwipo on the Scion fell too far behind. Doran's Gnar is filthy, as this is, you know, something I hear he's known for. I hear that he's pretty good at that pick. And Viper in particular, remember that moment last week on the podcast when I was like, yeah, Zaya was picked and it didn't do that well and it just doesn't do a lot of damage in lane. And then I saw this game and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Viper Zaya. Now I
turns out that Viper guy is pretty good at the game. Like,
he smashed this bot. There was a time when it was like a 3v1, and doesn't he get a double kill?
He gets a double kill and gets out alive. You're thinking of, like, the mid lane game when he's on Kai'Sa.
It's
like, okay, so we can't give him Zaya, we can't give him Kai'Sa, we can't give him Ashe, we can't give him Kalista. Can we ban like 27 AD carries against this guy? But then he'll just pull up Mage's bot lane, because what can't he do?
Yeah, that was rough, because Masu is a very young NA player as well, and you could clearly see the difference in, like, just lane understanding and how to play out these little skirmishes. Viper was just so much more experienced and comfortable than Masu. So hopefully Masu's able to quickly bounce back, because their competition's not going to be that much easier.
Don't worry, guys.
Arguably, it's going to be the hardest it could be.
I'm sure this is the hardest Korean team they'll have to play.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's the number one seed, you know? Yeah. A little teaser for the quarterfinals preview. But yeah, that's how FlyQuest 2-1 went. Not great. 2-1 bracket, at least. They got 2-1 as it was HLE moving forward. So that was Top Esports, HLE, and T1 making it out of the Swiss stage at that point, which meant that there were three more matchups and three more teams to say goodbye to, with three more teams advancing in the 2-2 bracket.
Yep. So the 2-2 pull is what happens after all these brackets. And the first matchup that gets drawn is East versus East. We get Weibo versus Damwon. This means of the three Western teams left, two of them will be facing off, which means one of them is guaranteed to go through. However, the third has to bite the bullet for the rest and face BLG. Now, what do you think ends up happening in terms of draw?
Before we answer that, I actually got another question. Just a side tangential one. Were you aware that statistically, if you made this same group of 16 teams, but 8 of them were monkeys on computers, statistically, one team of monkeys would make it out of the stage? Statistically, it's like 53%. So... so monkeys might have made it out. Unfortunately, G2 was the team offered on the altar of BLG.
I mean, what are the odds a team's gonna draw, you know, maybe they draw Hanwha Life plus Weibo plus T1 plus BLG? You know, what are the odds?
Hey, they got Pain. They got Pain in there.
Yeah.
Well, they got Pain Gaming, and then they got Pain afterwards. Like, yeah, it was. Yeah, that was kind of rough.
Dude, I feel so bad for G2 and EU because we all did not want this draw. Like NA fans that were celebrating this, I believe are the minority. I at least hope it's a minority because, like, I didn't want to make it in like this. I would have loved like a FlyQuest G2 or something to be like, okay, can we do it to EU again? Then NA deserves it. Otherwise, G2 looked like the better team of the Western.
It's just it's just the repeat of last. Like we were talking about it earlier, it's just the repeat of last year. Because remember the five teams that they played at Worlds last year.
They did lose to NRG. G2 lost to NRG last year.
So win against Damwon, win against Weibo, Gen.G. NRG, BLG, and the 2-2.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really fucking rough.
That is brutal for G2. And it's so sad because they did not look like a bottom 8 team in this Swiss.
No.
But, you know, that is the luck of the draw, and that is how at least this format of Worlds is structured. I would not be surprised if next year the format and the structure does change, either to a proper seeding system, or, I don't know, maybe just make a rule that, like, even like a rule that you can't face your own region doesn't really save them, other than NA versus NA.
And then it makes
NA
everything
here
super complicated.
Yeah.
It really does complicate a lot. Yeah, I don't know what the solution is, but this is so sad to see how this happens. But let's at least talk about it, because we can at least start with G2 BLG. G2 get a game yet again. I mean, they're showing that they are a competitive team at this world tournament, but it was not enough to get a full win. Their win was in their second game, and we're talking about Yasuo on some players. Well, Broken Blade Yasuo, pretty fun, dude. A counterpick into Bin's Gnar, and then Caps also pulling out the Sylas and maintaining that 100% win rate. This felt like G2 firing in all cylinders, at least for the second game of the series. Yeah, I don't know. Badger, do you have any thoughts on G2 and how they kind of looked on their way out of the tournament?
I think that game 2 draft, just going full G2 in that situation, is exactly what that team needed to do. And they caught BLG off guard. I mean, who's expecting Yasuo top with like no real outside of like Rakan, like no real knockups. I mean, you could like Sylas alt steal the Gnar ulti, but like they just played their game. They played the side lanes. They played the wind side lanes while the rest of the team kind of played stable, and then they just unfortunately weren't able to recreate the same magic in the game three with the rise from Caps, and it just
Rise, man.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Was almost getting to critical mass. Had the Rabadons, the Seraphs, the Cosmic Drive was getting towards the Zonias.
Their game plan.
Do we talk about the Rend bug?
Okay, yeah. So that's how the game ended, right? It's a pause in a fight, and then pause is investigated. Hansama claiming that he was not able to Rend. League officials say it was not a bug. They resume play. Game's over. It just freaking ends. That is. Like, 30 seconds after. It was insane.
Hell of a champion.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just that G2 didn't play their game plan. Like, they literally drafted, like, a super massive comp, and then they just kept taking fights, and, like that Baron play was just probably, like, that is literally what doomed them. And if you listen, like, I retweeted it as well, but, like, they literally didn't keep the TP timers, and they thought that the other team didn't have TP, and that makes the difference on that call. If you look back to the gameplay itself, like, not knowing they have TP there, that's why they went for it, because they thought they didn't, and that's like a game losing in a pivotal match where you are literally one and done, and this is your season. Like, that's a mistake that can't happen.
That Baron is literally what loses them the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it's the game changing moment. G2 actually had a chance until then.
And, that's the most heartbreaking part, is that there is a real world where G2 actually makes it out here if they just make slight different decisions at the very end of the game when they had been making pretty good decisions, intense moments throughout the tournament. But what I want to know here, Mazel, is are League officials aware that Elk's Ezreal does bonus damage? I wasn't aware that this was like a feature in the game. What the hell, man?
I thought with Jackie Love space gliding on Ashe, I was like, oh, we're hitting peak ADCs from Elk Beyond. And then Elk just goes and does that on Ezreal. Like, he can't miss a single ability, and he's dodging everything like he's in the Matrix. Like, I don't even understand, man. It was actually insane.
Oh my god.
It was like, oh my. It was so funny. The pause came through, and I'm like, oh my god, like, do they think he's like scripting?
Yeah. Like, because he literally was just like going off in like a 1v3.
Because BLG loses a fight, and then Elk's like, what if I just made it so that we actually win this fight?
Yeah,
he's like, nah, we don't lose fights around these parts. Just
I'm 10% HP, but I'm gonna E forward. Cue the Kalista, kill her, dodge out on Xin Zhao, going in, kill him, and then just, yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah, I agree, Mazel. Elk heard people saying Viper's best AD carry in the world. He was like, hold my Mystic shot. As it seems like these are the two, at least at the tournament, I really, really hope that we get to see a series delivered between the two of them, because that would be insane. Are they close to each other in the bracket? I'm trying to think here.
Taking between... a look here.
They're literally the match. Yeah,
they play round one.
Oh, round one. Well, look at that. I don't have to wait
for... You don't have to wait very long for it.
Might have forgotten that fact. All right, well, either way, that was the 2-2 teams, at least for that first, the first of the 2-2 teams. G2 were not able to make it out again. Heartbreaking for them. But you know who did make it out? Motherfucking America. Let's go, baby. Hell yeah. We're the best around. It's insane. I'm looking for my air horn. There it is. USA, Canada, we're the best. We team killed and we beat minor regions and we're in quarterfinals, baby.
Yo, we made it. That's all that matters.
FlyQuest versus Team Liquid also happened, and it also went the distance. And did you know how historic? I didn't really realize. I knew like the narrative going to LCS, but I forgot about it going into Worlds. This is like their 27th game against each other this year or something.
It's absurd.
Crazy. Yeah. The number of series they played against each other, because they always matched up like in the upper brackets of playoffs and then in the finals again. These teams just duking it out, but FlyQuest yet again getting the better of it. And I have to say, did not expect to be saying these words if you had asked me a couple weeks ago. I'm happy FlyQuest took it because they look like the more convincing team at this World Championship. Team Liquid has not looked like they can bring the competition to a lot of these international teams outside of two fairly close teams games against LPL teams in the first two rounds, but hasn't looked great since.
This meta change has been the worst possible thing for Team Liquid.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close. The reintroduction of a lot of carry-style top laners, specifically the Jax, the flex of the Aurora, and melee mid, specifically Yone. The fact that Team Liquid could not play Aurora or Yone this entire Worlds killed them. Like, yeah. They were either permaban champions or things that they just left up and took the chance. And we saw that when it came down to it in game number three, FlyQuest would play them, Team Liquid would.
Yeah. Specifically, the Yone quad has a fantastic Yone. APA just can't pilot it and tries to pull out the Kled to counter. And oh boy, did that crash and burn real fast. Bit of a feast or famine champion.
If they make that first play, if it goes the way that they wanted it to go, it would be good. But unfortunately, it was a relevant champion versus a non-relevant champion. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm.
And also, I hate to say it again, but unfortunately, Umpty had one of his worst games all year in their final Worlds game on the Sejuani, one of his champions that he's been playing all year as well and looking really good on. And God, he just was in the wrong place at the wrong time and just making mechanical misplays that are just not expected of him.
Umpty has been having a really rough Worlds overall. Alongside APA, those are kind of the two that had a major slump in Worlds.
Impact, he
at least picked it up a little bit coming towards the end. The only real shining spots, you can look at that bot lane duo and say, yeah, they did well. But then they have something like a Jin Tahm Kench and can't do jack shit in the game.
Yep.
Where Tahm Kench buys three Elixirs of Iron.
Yeah.
The value.
The heart steel Tahm Kench support, baby. Gotta love it. Badger, is FlyQuest, are they still your babies? Are they still like your team in the LCS?
Not really, because unfortunately my prodigal son that came over from Korea has abandoned us and the light is left for my life. And I was back on the Team Liquid train this season. So,
okay. Well, how did it feel seeing them have such a fantastic year up until LCS Finals and then this Worlds performance? Because I think this was a little out of left field. I this was not the expectation for this team.
You know, coming into Worlds, if the format was any different way with such a big emphasis on luck of drawing the right teams at the right time, I was genuinely convinced that none of the Western teams coming to Worlds stood a chance against LPL/LCK. So,
okay, yeah. Well, that's not where I thought that was going
to
go.
No, like I said, the light has abandoned my life and all hope is gone.
I understand.
So,
okay. All right. That's what
really hurts for Team Liquid. I don't know if they could have gotten a better draw. Like
no,
this entire
they definitely
tournament.
Couldn't have gotten it. I mean,
LNG, Weibo, Pain, Gam, FlyQuest.
And their best games, the games that they looked best outside of the one that they won against FlyQuest, I think their best looking games were like the ones against the LPL teams that they lost. That's when I actually had faith. And I was like, okay, they lost. They're in the 0-2, but they were competitive against LPL teams. I think that Team Liquid can do it. And then they just, as the world's meta is shaped, I think that's really the nail on the head there that, you know, they were not able to maintain.
When you're banning Aurora and Yone, like, intermittently on blue side, you have reached a point where you cannot win.
Yeah. That's
because blue side was so prevalent this tournament, just because of the fact that it freed up so much for you from the fact that Aurora Yone had to be taken out on red side bans. And if you're banning it in on the opposite team, the other team has already won draft.
I just feel like internally, like, obviously the Kled didn't work out right, but internally it also feels really bad because everybody knows that champion issues are something that APA has been dealing with. And in that moment, I don't know what the comms were like behind the scenes, but at some point there had to be like, we believe in your Kled, APA, right? Like, at some point in that, and to so disastrously lose that in a deciding match when you know that you haven't been able to play Yone this entire time, like, it just feels it, like, not only on the surface does it feel bad, but it also feels bad behind the scenes. I'm sure that gave a huge, you know, knock to the confidence in APA from other players as well.
It's ammo against, because that was the narrative. I mean, I remember like the Summit Reddit posts and stuff, like, complain about APA's champ pool last year, and the hope was this year, oh, he's picking up more things. He's not just a Ziggs Nico two trick anymore. But he didn't play the champs that happened to be meta at Worlds. And it feels like it happened again, not for lack of development. APA is a better player and has a bigger champ pool this year than he did last year, but it just wasn't the right champ pool, which is the, I think, hardest part. But hopefully, my hope is that a player like APA is able to bounce back and just continue growing, continue learning. This is only his second internet or second Worlds. He's made many international events at this point since being a player. Actually, he hasn't missed an international event that he could attend. So I still think that there's a lot of hope for this player. I hope that Team Liquid continues investing in him, or if they do make roster changes, that at least somebody else in NA picks him up, because I don't think that we let a player like APA drop just off of these international performances when he's shown the ability to grow so much in a relatively short time. But that means that there's one other team in the 2-2 stage, so let's cover it. DK versus Weibo Gaming. And Badger, this is your time. DK, they did not make it out.
Can you feel the light?
I feel the light leaving my system, you know.
Nah, he showed up though.
Showed up. Yeah, I was gonna say light was on Weibo actually. Up. So yeah.
Yeah. They won game one and I'm like, yes, Showmaker LeBlanc doing work, aiming Kalista. Everything is looking smooth. And then Lucid had a little bit of an oopsie whoopsies, and so did Moham for the rest of the series.
And Kingen, and at least and in game two.
Kingen in two was not great. Kingen in three with the Gragas, just I understand it's a signature pick, but like kind of like how I knew, I don't want to say it was doomed for Liquid when APA picked Kled. I kind of knew it was doomed for Damwon when Kingen picked Gragas. I was just,
hey, but Showmaker got Yone. I mean, that's kind of
hard, but he also lost on Yone against, well, I guess it's against Aurora, so that's like the two flavor of the tournament picks. So He managed to lose both sides of the matchup to Xiaohu, so clearly my goat, well, not really my goat, my mid lane appreciation of Showmaker did not show up as well as I thought he was going to, but I can't be too mad because it's Lucid's first Worlds and he's 19. I would say his birthday, but that would just send everybody into a tizzy.
Okay.
Man was born January 2005.
Nice.
That's the year of the Xbox 360 came
out. Was in sixth grade when this kid was born. Yes. I can't be too upset about it. And then I think Moham's like also young too, so.
Yeah. We did see, I think, Bright Spots aiming in general had a pretty good series. But Light, man, two Ezreal games in a row, also showing up huge there. Mizell, I think, dude, watching LPL 80 carries play Ezreal, I'm like, oh, this is what the champ does.
The amount of ease forward, like the aggressive stances they use, is actually so insane. And that's why it was so funny to watch that. Now, this is going to be a little bit tangential, but like when Ziggs was starting to come up, and especially like Gala was playing it and Light was playing it, like they would use their satchel charge so aggressively. And it just shows like the essence is there, where you just take something, I guess, and play a little bit more aggressively, and people don't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, Deke plus Kia Forte 2024 Sorenta plus Ultra were not able to handle it as they were bidding farewell at the tournament this stage. 2-2. So we said goodbye to DK, TL, and G2 at this point, which meant that Weibo, FlyQuest, and BLG advanced. All four LPL teams advance out of Swiss. Three LCK teams advance out of Swiss, and wouldn't you know, statistically speaking, a team of monkeys will make it out, and FlyQuest are also making it to quarterfinals.
Wait, it's four LPL, three LCK, and an LCS? Wait, where did I see this before?
Probably last year Worlds. I'm pretty sure it was about the same. Different region, though, as we are in EU, so we won't get at least T1 running the gauntlet. Although, technically... Oh, wait, no, it can't happen. No, the side of the bracket they're on, because they have an LPL team, but three of the other LPL teams are on the other side of the bracket, which is going to be tough for LPL overall. But what are your thoughts, Bickle?
Technically, Hanwha Life can run the bracket this time.
True. That's a good point. So going into quarters, we did have a draw show, and the draws are as follows. In order from October 17th, 18th, 19th to 20th, we have LNG versus Weibo, the LPL versus LPL matchup. Then we have HLE versus BLG. That one's going to be a banger. Next up is Top Esports versus T1, also arguably a banger, as we got to see them in the first round of Swiss, and now we get the run back. And then Gen G versus FlyQuest, we pulled the tournament favorites, who 3-0'd, didn't drop any games except for one to HLE on their way out, and technically haven't played since October 5th, so that's over 2 weeks. Until they play again, because they're the last game out of the quarterfinals. So maybe that'll be a plus for us. But that's a rough draw for FlyQuest.
That's wild. It's such a long time.
That is crazy, right? But we'll cover them at the end, because they are fourth in the matchup. Let's talk about the first one first. LNG versus Weibo, as we have our predictions. I have LNG 3-1 alongside Badger. Bickle and Mizell have LNG 3-2. So maybe thinking it's a little bit closer. I was just convinced more by LNG throughout the Swiss stage than I was by Weibo. It was purely just like, even though I still think that LNG had an easier draw making it out, they had a quick exit. It's been a while since they've been playing, but I still thought that they looked great. Mizell, I want to get your thoughts though on this matchup, because these are two LPL teams, and of course you've covered them all year.
Yeah, I mean, I think LNG is just the better team than Weibo. I think, especially in the regionals, they took advantage of Weibo's kind of faltering there and just had a really quick, clean sweep of them. But I think Scout can outplay Xiaohu, and I think that's one of the crux that Weibo plays around very heavily, and especially Tarzan. So unless Light just has an insane performance over Gala, I think that they'll be able to stay on par and LNG is able to take it. But I think it's going to be a knockout, dragout series.
Okay. I mean, you also have had the privilege of watching many best of fives go to five games in the LPL. Yeah. So I hear that that's kind of a trend.
Ah, shit. I should have expected that with the just the fact that it's LPL. So
yeah, you know, I'm going to change my answer.
You know what? I'm convinced now at this point.
I'm convinced. Now comes up the opportunity for Mizell to convince me to change his next one, too, because this one was so close for me, and I will hear arguments for either side. HLE versus BLG on October 18th. We have myself, Badger, and Bickle with HLE. Me and Badger have it at 3-2. Bickle has it a 3-1. Mizell, the lone LPL believer, at a 3-2 as well for BLG. So most of us think it's going to be very close. Bickle thinks still a game for BLG. I guess, Bickle, let's hear your thoughts first here, because you're the one that has the furthest away from like a 50-50 here. Why do you think HLE get the better of BLG?
Honestly, these are the two number one seeds coming in, so it's going to be a slugfest, a pretty good fight. But I just haven't been convinced by BLG's performance at this tournament so far. They've kind of underperformed and been disappointing in a sense. They nearly dropped to G2 there. They almost didn't make knockouts.
Yeah.
Hanwha has also had some struggles, but they went toe-to-toe with Gen G, who look like the best team at this tournament right now. And I think just got caught off guard by a weird-ass Nunu pick. And other than that, they've been looking really solid. It'll be really exciting. I think if BLG's able to make something happen, it'll be around that top lane. I think Bin can be a big pressure point. But I'm so excited to see two of the best AD carries in the world face off.
Yes. I think no matter who wins, we all win. Because that bot lane is going to be fireworks. Cinema. As it were. But Mazzell, I want to hear your thoughts because you believe in BLG to take it.
Of course. No, I think if Viper has a really good series, it's going to be very difficult for BLG, but I think everybody's going to discount Elk going into it. I think it's going to be back and forth. I think it's pretty much like a 50-50 to me at this point. But it all depends on who's feeling themselves on that day and what kind of meta read we get from these two teams, because if BLG come away from these positions that they haven't really wanted to be in, but you hear in the interviews they're still very confident, they're still very joyous about it all. I think that's the biggest thing, is as long as they have a good head on their shoulders going into the series, they can absolutely take it. But if they don't, if they have like a bad meta read, I mean, HLE will take it all the way.
That's what I'll say. I think BLG's meta read was getting better throughout the tournament, and Knight pulling out things like the Sylas gives me more confidence that BLG can actually do this. That's why I was so hard for me to make a decision. For me also, Bin versus Doran, I just feel like Bin should smash that matchup. So I don't know. I kind of want to change to BLG, but I'll keep HLE out of respect for FlyQuest, who drops to them. So there we go. That's the top half of the bracket, which means that up on October 19th, we'll have the bottom half of the bracket. Top Esports versus T1 to kick things off. I have Top Esports 3-1 alongside Mazzell. Bickle has them 3-2. Badger sitting alone with T1.
Whoa, no. I have T1.
Wait.
Oh, you have T1.
Badger, you changed mine.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Well, let's start that over again.
I put T1 in my initial thing, and then I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot what team they were playing against, so.
All right, well then, just swap Badger and Bickle, basically. Bickle has T1, Badger is Top Esports, and now they're both 3-2s. Me and Mazzell still think really Top Esports 3-1. Okay, what's your argument? Let's hear it.
I need some fucking person to just sweep the leg, Johnny, on T1. I just need them out of the tournament. I need LPL to win, and honestly, at this point, I think they're the only person that can take us out. So I don't care how it happens, Top Esports, but make it happen, all right?
That is terrifying to think that T1 is the kryptonite of LPL. But if they beat Top Esports, it's only going to be in the finals that LPL can try to take them. Oh, well, at that point, you're rooting for Gen G. Wait, this is perfect for you, Mazzell, because you don't need LPL to take out T1.
I just need somebody.
Okay.
Anybody.
Well, you think it's 369 Tian, Cream, Jackie Love, and Mako. We'll see if they're able to pull it off. I still have faith in them as well. Watching Jackie Love's Ashe was insane. Cream's really been stepping it up. Last time we saw Cream versus Faker, also, I think he performed admirably and just kind of bodied Faker in lane. So I actually think that Cream can step up and do this again. And yeah, I think this is potentially Guma Top Jackie. Esports way to do it.
Now, counterpoint, T1 at Worlds, T1 doesn't miss semifinals.
Yeah.
This would be historic. This would be the first time ever.
They just hit another level whenever Worlds starts up. Like, they are just on another level. Owner, I swear, becomes a different player. Like, it's not even funny, the difference between regular season and playoff owner versus Worlds owner.
That is a good point. As there are three of us thinking that this is history being made with T1 missing, Bickle, you are the only one holding out. Badger, you have it close at a 3-2. What do you think gives Top Esports the edge?
I think they play really well in this meta. I was very much convinced. I don't think Kareem's going to be the catalyst, but I don't think Kareem's going to be the reason they lose these games. I don't know. It's just 3-6-9 rolling nines and Jackie Love playing like he's a world champion.
Yeah.
Mako Jackie Love is a lane that I never knew that I needed until I started watching this Worlds.
It has been a treat, and I agree with Mizell's giddiness. Guma versus Jackie Love is going to be awesome to see in that bottom lane. So
eight world champions in that matchup.
That's cool. Oh my God. That's insane. That's got to be close to a record. But there is one more quarterfinals match to cover, and oh boy, is this one going to be interesting. Gen G versus FlyQuest. Not the number one seed LCK team, but the one most people had as the best LCK team coming into the tournament, as they were able to sweep their way essentially through the Swiss stage, only dropping a game to HLE, which was the kind of run back of LCK finals. And FlyQuest have to take on Giants. Badger and Bickle have a Gen G 3-0 sweep, but me and Mizell, baby, we believe in a game for FlyQuest with Gen G 3-1. I'm going to give my thoughts on this one to start off. Again, I kind of alluded to it. Gen G has not played since October 5th. By the time they play, it will be October 20th. That is over 2 weeks of not playing any stage games. I think that FlyQuest are going to come in with the right energy and the right attitude for the series and take game one. Gen G is going to be a little shaky just because they've been away from the stage for so long, and then G&G will swiftly break the fastest game record at some point in the rest of the series and smash FlyQuest in the remaining three games. I honestly think that's how it's going to go. If FlyQuest do win a game, I think it's just the first one because of like momentum, and then Gen G will get it back together. Mizell, do you have like a same read, or do you have a different reason for why you think FlyQuest is going to get a game?
I think they're scrappy little underdogs, and they'll take a game.
Yeah, I love it. Bring us back to earth, though, Bickle and Badger. I want to hear Bickle's thoughts first.
And this is really sad to say. The question to me is not, will FlyQuest take a game? The question is, will Gen G break the record for fastest game at this tournament?
I think they will.
Yeah.
I think both could happen.
I was going to say,
this is the worst possible draw Fly could have gotten.
It's so hard to get at this point, just based on the fact that, like, grubs, and there's so many different ways to get all the... get a tally on the board, but if we're gonna see a perfect game in this tournament, this is the series that it would come from.
There's no way, right? I mean, this would be the series, but that doesn't mean that it's like likely to happen or going to happen. I think FlyQuest are good enough. I think that they'll have something cooked up in draft to take Gen G by surprise, to at least like make a game close-ish. Even if they don't win a game, I think one of them could be competitive. But Gen G are just looking that much better. So yeah, not a lot of expectations on
now,
FlyQuest.
Question. If on some miracle FlyQuest pulls off the upset and wins the series, where does this rank among the greatest upsets in league history?
It is the greatest.
It's got to be.
It would be Misfits actually beating T1 levels if they were able to pull off that legendary series back in, what, 2017?
17, yeah.
Because I feel like the only things it might compete with is G2 beating RNG in 2018 to end the Golden Road, or Team Liquid beating IG in MSI. Those are the only two that come to mind.
The reigning world champs.
Yes.
Yeah. I think those are, but those were further along in tournaments where I think there was more hope for the Western teams. Hope and expectations are at a freaking minimum for this FlyQuest roster right now. Like, I remember going into that IG series thinking Team Liquid have a good style matchup versus IG. So even if they don't win, I think stylistically, they would rather pull IG than, I forget who was on the other side, if it was like T1 or something like
T1 and G2.
Yeah. But I can't even think of like how FlyQuest is supposed to do this other than one of the games they pulled off like an Urgot or an Olaf top lane and they like get some kind of snowball rolling and Genji just aren't like used to playing against this type of style. But I don't think that's enough to win a best of five. So
what's the next fun pick they pull out to try and win a game?
Ooh, a Mumu top lane.
No, Rammus.
Ooh, okay.
It'll be something like Xin Zhao top with a Fiddlesticks jungle.
What's the most... Well, I guess no, because Quad wouldn't play it. I'm trying to think. It would have to come from top or jungle.
Yeah. Karthus jungle with, like, I don't know, just all prio aggro lanes. And then it's just like a roaming, feed to Karthus everything.
Roaming Janna top lane from Bwipo.
Masu is going to ask the ref if he can have a Wi-Fi adapter installed on his PC and unplug his Ethernet cable. And then
the Wi-Fi wizard returns.
SSGG, you know, fucking just ultimate.
Hell yeah. For anybody who's not aware, Masu played the first 3 weeks of Challengers League on Wi-Fi from Canada because he didn't have an Ethernet cable.
Man had like 160 ping.
It was insane. We literally have clips of him, like once he got an Ethernet cable, or actually once he moved to LA and was on zero ping, we have clips of him like pre-cleansing Ash arrows because he's not used to it. It was really funny. But yeah, I like that. And actually, if everyone's on Wi-Fi, that would be even better for Masu, because then put them out of their element. Mm-hmm. All right. There we go. Well, that's how quarterfinals is expected to shake out from us here on the pod. But don't forget to let us know what you think is going to happen in the old quarterfinals in the community Discord. A reminder that you can find a link to that wherever you are listening along. But that'll do it at least for this week's episode. We have knockout stage of Worlds, baby. Swiss is in the books. Sorry to all the EU fans out there. I really do think G2 could have been done better and should be in the knockout stage. But luck of the draw is what it is. At least NA fans can be cheering on FlyQuest for potentially a little while longer here. Maybe a miracle happens, but you won't want to miss any of the action October 17th. Thank you so much for my co-hosts for coming on here. Badger, can we expect more of you going forward now?
Yeah, I'll be around.
Hell yeah. Happy to have you back, man. As well to hear you and Mazel just go at it for LCK versus LPL. I forgot how
it's going to be pretty I great next that. Week. When Well, I guess we're going to have one LPL team guaranteed.
We're going to find out.
Going to find out. Going to learn today.
We're going to learn next
We're going to learn
actually.
In the next couple days.
In a couple days. In a couple days. Days. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in and listening along, everybody. Also, a reminder to give a 5 stars wherever you are listening. But most importantly, remember this. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Peace. We'll be right back.